Okay, I just tested that. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. While you're doing that, I'll just get some water. Now, this is a little continuation from what I did last week. And just as a way of introduction to this, as we get into this, I have a, this is mainly going to be fairly lengthy, well, not lengthy, but the majority of this, what I want to talk to you about this morning, is a Bible study. The message itself is about, the Bible study is this big, the message is about this big. Okay, so it's a Bible study to one truth that I think is worth looking at. And so what I'm doing, sorry, I'll just get to 1 Peter myself, 1 Peter chapter 5, and then we'll read this. But let's just pray again. Father, thank you again. I just ask you would help us with thy word. And we ask that you would bless in Jesus' name we pray, amen. He's back again. What have you lost? Oh, Jan's glasses. No, they're not here, hun.
No, I've got
them. Oh, you got them. Okay. That's all right. A senior moment. All right. Well, I'll see. Senior moment. All right. Let's read this chapter. And the message I want to give you this morning, just as the title, which we won't get to yet, but I've just titled it, He Lifted Me. There's a hymn that we sometimes sing out of Sinking Sands, He Lifted Me, and I will come back to that. That's the message, but for me to get to that point, we're going to go through a fair bit of scripture, and I want to bring you back to what I mentioned last week, just as the way, as you know, as I'm reading this, that the context of this passage is I want us to all realize and remember that the kingdom you and I live in is not God's kingdom, it's Satan's kingdom. That's the thing I want us to remember. It's something that people seem to forget that. His kingdom is to come, and if you're saved this morning, where is his kingdom? In us. And he's above us. So we're translated into his kingdom. So let's just read this as a way of introduction. So he says in verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. It was more than likely when Peter was on the Mount Transfiguration that he's talking about when he saw the Lord's return, when he was up there with the other two disciples. And you remember Moses and Elijah had appeared with them. And later on in 2 Peter chapter 2, when Peter he writes down that experience and said, even though we had that experience of seeing his coming, he said, but we have a more what sure word of prophecy. And then he said that we have a light. He said, well, actually, I'll read it to you. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, is unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. And of course, the Bible is as a light, so your Bible is as a light that shineth in a dark place. And here's the thought: the dark place is Satan's kingdom, which I'll come to. It isn't God. So just remember that. And sometimes we don't. We seem to forget that. So now then he says in verse 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, therefore not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Neither as being lords over God's heritage, that's us, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So just remember that God resisteth the proud, he giveth grace to the humble. Then he says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, just way of remembrance, who is doing the exalting in that verse? God is. So just remember that. God is doing the exalting, and he says for us to humble ourselves under his mighty hand, remembering that he does care for us, so we can cast all our care upon him. Verse 8, and here's the key. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. And of course, when you come to the Bible, understand that as much as God's hand is real, so is Satan. He's real. He is the devil. And he there in that passage is seeking whom he may devour. Now, that's not a really good thought about that. Now, come over to Matthew 4. And I know most of you know this, so I'm not saying anything new at the moment. Matthew 4. So Matthew 4 here is, now remember, Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the devil. So the Lord knows. So at the beginning of his earthly ministry, that's what happened. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. Now in Luke, he says that the Satan tempted him every day. Now, just as a matter of interest, who is Jesus Christ? God. Okay, so, and here is the devil trying to tempt God. And where was the devil at his very beginning? On the throne. He was the anointed cherub, the one that was exalted above all the other angels in heaven. Amen. He had the number one spot, and yet he looked at his own beauty, which was only a reflection of the throne of God, and sin and iniquity was found in his heart, and he was lifted up in pride. And I want you to think about Satan. He was lifted up. By the way, who had lifted him into that position in the first place? God did. And here's the key, is that when we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, who is the one who does the exalting? God. Okay, so that's the thing, just to remember that. Okay, then he says, the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then the devil. I mean, I think this is amazing. The devil took him, that's Christ, up into the holy city, set of him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. You say, how could Satan take Jesus Christ up into the temple, up onto this pinnacle? Because it's his kingdoms. It's his. Jesus said unto him, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Of course, we know about the garden. We entered into the kingdom of sin and death after man had sinned in the garden. Verse 8, and the devil taketh him up unto an exceedingly high mountain. Now, I want you to think everything. What does Satan keep doing? He's taking Jesus, what? Up. Up. He's taking him up. He's took him to the pinnacle. Now it's an exceedingly, what? High mountain. It's always on the up. And the devil taketh him up and showeth himself all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. So Satan says all these things. Now, I want you to understand this morning, the only thing that Satan can offer you and I are things. The only thing that God can offer us, not the only thing, sorry, that's wrong, but what does God offer us when we receive salvation? Eternal life. Rewards in heaven. Amen? Think of what God offers by us humbling ourselves and coming to Jesus Christ. Not only does he do that for us, he allows now the believer to walk in Satan's kingdom, and he does that. But he says, I'll rise and I'll give thee if thou wilt, notice, fall down and worship me. And then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. When the Bible says, all these things will I give thee, do you really think things, if you think of it this way, do you really think things are that important to Satan? What's important to Satan? That he does the what? Exalting. And I'll read you this in a moment. That he does the what? Exalting. Now let's go over to Isaiah 14, verse 13. As I said, this is a Bible study to start with. So Isaiah 14. So go over to Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13. Now, what I say, Isaiah 14. Now, this is the passage talking about him. Now, I want you to note, as we just talk about Satan for a little bit here, for a moment, and what I say down to verse 13. Well, in verse 12, he says, that, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So, Lucifer has been cast down at the moment, even though these kingdoms are his. Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, notice what he says, I will ascend into what? Heaven. That's what, everyone? Up. I will exalt my throne above the stars of what? God. What's that? Up. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above, once again up, the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Notice what he says there. I will be like what? The Most High. So he wants to be like the Most High. And I want you to think for a moment. In order for Satan to be like the Most High, it's not about the things he can give someone. It is about him exalting you. He wants to be like God. Who does the exalting in 1 Peter? Think about it. God does the exalting. So we humble, he exalts us. Satan wants to be like God, Most High. And what he's really saying to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, he's not worried about really saying to the Creator, well, if you just bow down, worship, and give all these things to you, Lord, to Jesus Christ, really what Satan is doing, he wants to be like the Most High, and he wants to allow God to bow down and worship him so Satan can who? Lift up God. Now think about that. Doesn't the Bible say that Satan is the king over all the children of pride? So he does the lifting. Now come with me for a moment as we go through that thought. As we go over there, go over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Now this is the story here, true story. Luke 18 is about the Pharisee and the publican. And I'll read you this here. I'll read you this. So Luke 18. So in Luke 18 and verse 9, so the book of Luke chapter 18 verse 9, and I got it up here on the flannel graph. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And often when Jesus Christ would speak to the congregation that followed him, in verse 9 he spake this parable unto them. And of course the parable is about a Pharisee and a publican, and they both go into the temple. So we'll do a scene change. So we'll do the scene change. So we've got the Pharisees. We've got the publicans. And I remember Ted Mullins preaching this message in about 82. This really got me. Really meant a lot to me, this message. Especially about the Pharisee and the publican. So we had the Pharisee and the publican, and they go into the temple here, so we'll make it look like a temple, eh? Da da da. Tell me when I go wrong, Graham. Elgin's looking at me very seriously, making sure I've got it upright. Make sure I've got the pieces in the right place. But you know, when you really think about this thought here, that Satan is more interested in his kingdom about the one who can do the exaltation. And by the way, whose kingdom will we live in? Satan's. He wants to be like the Most High, so what does he want to do? He wants to be the one who's doing the exalting. But the Bible says if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. Remember Jesus said, if you go into your closet and pray, and our Father in heaven seeth in what? Secret. He will then reward us what? Openly. So sometimes, you know, you might be serving the Lord, you might be doing something in prayer, you're in your closet. It's something, say, just between you and God, and only the Lord can see it, amen? And then what the Lord will do, he'll then reward you openly. If he's rewarding you openly, what is God doing? He's doing the exalting. Didn't Jesus Christ get favor from both God and man? So God does the exalting. But remember, Satan wants to be like the Most High, and he also wants to do the exalting. Now, in 1 Peter, what did 1 Peter say that Satan is? A roaring lion, okay, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I'll give you a hint here. If Satan is the roaring lion, and he is going about seeking whom he may devour, in other words, he obviously can't devour the humble, because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So maybe when God resisteth the proud, they are now open that Satan can now devour them. And how will Satan devour them? By lifting them up, giving them the exaltation. Now, think about this for a moment. This is dangerous if you think about it for where we live. We live, you and I do not live in God's kingdom at the moment. We live in Satan's kingdom. That's the thing to remember. And I love this verse because Satan reveals that he wanted to Jesus Christ to get ahead of God the Father, and of course Christ will come back and he'll get all those things. But here in this chapter, so you have the Pharisee and you have the publican, and Jesus is speaking in a parable, and he says two men went up into the temple now to pray. Now I want you to think about something. Can the devil get into a church? Amen. I sometimes think we meet with God and the devil sometimes in church. You say, well, Brother Simon, how would you honestly say that? I have seen more crazy things happen in a church than I have seen out there. Amen. But here's the point. So notice what he says here. He says, so the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice he praying with himself. I love this. So God's not in it. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So when you look at the Pharisee, who's the one doing the lifting? Up of him what? Self. He's lifted up himself, hasn't he? He said, well, I'm not like others. well, I am just arrived, and you know, God, if you want to find the best Christian around or the best Pharisee, come and see me. That's basically what he's saying. And he's actually saying, I am not like the publican. Now, I want you to show you something here. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes, what? Into heaven. So the publican wouldn't lift, what? The publican wouldn't lift up. He wouldn't look up. What's the publican doing? Humbling himself. The Pharisees lifted, he's been lifted up. You know, when the Pharisees were lifted up, can I honestly say Satan had already devoured them? Say, why do you say that Satan had already devoured them? Because when Jesus Christ turned up, what did they do? They rejected him. Now, as I said, Satan can offer, if it's his kingdom, cannot Satan offer you the things of this world? Of course he can. Who's ever seen a rock and roll star or something sell out? We call it selling out. They had a really good voice, a talent given to them by the Lord, and then they decide to become popular, and we call it selling out, and then they make a lot of money. So in other words, Satan can do the exalting, he can give a lot, he can do that. But I want you to also understand something about the God of this world, who is Satan, unless the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto that person and they get saved. Understand that the God of this world, he can only offer you two things, a temporal life, amen, of a world that will be burnt up, which we looked about in Isaiah, which will go up in smoke. And he also then, all he can offer you then is misery for eternity. That's all Satan can offer you. Think about that. You get exalted. You look for the things in this life. You ignore God. You get lifted up in your own pride. And then you're going to be devoured by Satan. He devours you. Because all of a sudden, everyone thinks that it's all about this life. And wouldn't it be fair to say that in Australia, aren't we fairly rich? Meaning, we have no need for who? God. On that kind of sense. But notice he says here, publican standing afar, not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be what? Abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be what, everyone? Exalted. I did a message one day called God's Elevator. And God's Elevator goes down before it goes up. And I was down in Brisbane and I went into the Myer Centre and I was in the car park down below and I wanted to go up. So I pressed the lift button and guess what the lift did? It went down. Do you think I was a very happy chappy when I wanted to go what? Up? God's Elevator goes down. When we humble ourselves, he does the exalting. But when we get lifted up, I want you to understand that really what we're saying is that what I really want to say is that you think about that. So Satan does the exalting. Now, A, think about this for a moment. So Satan himself is the counterfeit and wants to be. He is the counterfeit. So think about the devil. He's the counterfeit to God. He's the counterfeit. He wants to be like God. He is the perfect counterfeit. And he's a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. And as I said last week, if you've ever seen a man-eating lion, how they will step over one person and take another person, and I've seen the photos of what happens to a human being when they're devoured by a lion, and he devours them. And so he's a roaring lion, and in the way that Satan works in his kingdom is always on the basis of exalting someone. How do you get by in this world, by the way? Climbing up the what? The ladder. Being at the top of your profession. Now, there's nothing wrong with being at the top of your profession, but I'm just saying, but isn't that what people want? They want the upward thing. Do you remember Moses? Do you remember Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's house? And he was the little Jewish boy that was found in the bulrushes. He was a Levite, kept by his mother, given to Pharaoh's daughter. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 2 of 11, he says, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked in their burdens and spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he killed the Egyptian. Do you remember what Moses did? Moses probably knew that God was going to use him to deliver Israel from the bondage of Egypt. But he went out and he looked up himself, didn't he? What do you think Moses was doing? A little bit of his own lifting. Amen. He was sort of lifting up himself a bit, wasn't he? He got ahead of God, and what happened? The Egyptian got killed. But when you read the Bible, have you ever found out how amusing it is when actually God comes down 40 years later and says, Moses, I'm sending you? And do you remember the excuses Moses made to God? His disposition, his attitude had changed. Maybe he was a little bit more humble. Maybe he started to realize, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Would you agree? And I think that was basically happening. I remember that. Now, what we have to do then as Christians, especially now that you and I do not live, we're not at home in heaven yet, what's one thing you and I have? The Bible. What's another thing that we sometimes say it is? Yeah, the Word of God. What do we get from the Word of God? I'm making you think this morning, guys. Come on. Promises? Promises? Faith? Promises? How about promises? So there are promises in the Bible. Yeah, it's funny. Have you ever noticed how people like to believe the Bible but they don't want to live it? Promises. So there are promises in the Bible. Would you agree with me? Okay. And it's often, as Corrie ten Boom said, a lot of people go window shopping. They see the promise and they never go in and buy it. But there are promises. And when you think of this subject of being exalted or wanting to be in a position, maybe even in a position even in a church, it might even be a position at work, but it'll be the number one position. Who's ever had this thought, no matter where you've been, okay, whatever part in life you've been, have you ever had this thought and you have read that verse that says that God will do the what? Lifting. Have you ever done this and said and thought, what if he doesn't exalt me? Have you ever thought that? What if God doesn't lift me? What if he doesn't exalt me? What if he doesn't put me maybe in the position I desire? Who's ever had that thought? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you're not one of the kind of person who just wants to climb the ladder, but have you ever, maybe in a church, I want that position. Young pastors want that position. What do they want? Well, they want the pulpit and the preaching for whatever reason. And if they want to come, anyway, but they want that position. And then, you know what they do? They get a thought, you get a thought in your head, well, what if God doesn't exalt me? You know, once you think that the Lord is not on your side and he's against you and he might not exalt you or put you in the position or give you what you desire, amen? And that could be having a wife, could be lots of different things. It could be a heap of different things that we all desire and we say, well, what if God doesn't give me a wife or whatever? I'm just using that as an example. And we get to thinking in our head, well, I get this thought that I go, what if? You know, all of a sudden, I have put myself in a very dangerous position. Because if you want something badly enough, what will you do? Go and try and what? Get it. Amen? And what are you doing? Exalting yourself. Because now you're saying, God won't do it, I will do it. You've just put yourself right in target for Satan to go. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for you to exalt yourself. You know, an old pastor said, he said this, you wanted it, you wanted it, you wanted it, you got it. But here's the promise. But here's the promise. What does God say? He that humbleth himself shall be exalted in due time. That's a promise. That's a promise from the Bible. You know, God says if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will, and think about this, he will exalt you in due time. He will do it. Amen? Isn't that a thought? Isn't that a great thought? Otherwise, we live in Satan's kingdom and think, what if I can't get it? I want it, I want it. You get so worked up about it. Now God is out of the picture. I will do it, Lord. And now you get lifted up with pride. And what does God do? He resisteth the proud. And think about this for a moment. How can Satan then get permission to devour you? Well, it's up to us. What do you mean? Well, if I don't humble myself, I'm putting myself in a position where Satan could devour you. Now, let me just say this. Now, so think of this way. So, okay, I'm a preacher. All right, fair enough. The danger for me, this is the danger for me, is to try and get around the other, watch everyone, preachers who like the position of exaltation, amen? And if I get around the preachers who like that, what could happen to me? The same. And you know what? If God calls you, you're better off just being a nobody. you're better off just being humble and a nobody. Because I have seen what's happened to men and women who've got around the leadership thing, and they've been pumped up so much that they get into a place of pride, and after, say, some years, they end up not being in church, or they end up being devoured because they wanted the position so badly. When we want the position so badly in this life, understand we're really wanting a position in our... Now, I'm going to say this to you. We're wanting a position in Satan's kingdom. Amen. And this kingdom that he runs is what? Temporal. So you and I have 70 to 80 years best. Why bother with a lot of the things we do? Why not just be humble and allow God to do the lifting? Now you say, Brother Simon, then that means you're asking me to put my faith in God. Yes, amen. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, let's continue with the thought for a moment. And the thought is high. Now, come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think some of you probably should know this verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is the passage where he tells us to pull down imaginations and high things that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So notice here in 2 Corinthians 10, the Bible tells us as believers to do this. He says in chapter 10, verse 5, he says, casting down. Now, so if something is to be cast down, it means it's exalted. Imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want you to understand that God says for us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So therefore, there's something else in my life that's trying to do the exalting. And can I say to you that the thing that's trying to do the exalting in my life is my enemy? It's either my flesh or it's the devil. It's my pride or it's Satan. But God says cast down the imaginations and the high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So it's obviously important to know your Bible. When you think about Jesus Christ, was he not the Creator? Was he not God manifest in the flesh? How come the Lord himself came here not to be superior? What did he come to be? A doormat, a servant. Think about the creator of the universe came into this life to become what? A servant. He could have been superior to Satan. But God had a plan, we know that. And he was superior. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, I know how to be abased. In other words, he says, I know how to humble myself. Because Paul was very concerned that within his own nature, the revelations that were given to him at Arabia, which is the New Testament, the revelations revealed to him, that they could have lifted him up in what? Pride. Being the one of the least of the apostles, he could have walked around and said, I know more than you do. But it was revealed to him by who? Jesus Christ. So he said, I know how to be what? Abased. I know how to humble myself. I know how to get off that platform. I think even where he asked the Lord to remove the thorn that was in his flesh, and he asked the Lord 3 times, and God said from heaven, my grace is sufficient for thee. Right about Jesus Christ, you have a look in Philippians chapter 2, In Philippians chapter 2 is the account of the Lord, and think about Jesus Christ here, what the Bible says about him. The Bible says in verse 1, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. That's interesting. Aren't the churches knocked up about the Spirit of God? So if you want to have some comfort and fellowship of the Spirit, of any bowels and mercies, fulfilling my joy that he be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves, looking not every man on his own things, but on every man also the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but, notice what the Lord does, but, and think of the buts in your Bible, made himself of no reputation. If you're made of no reputation, what are you? You're down the bottom of the ladder, amen? Remember I said to you about preaching? I do not want to get around those who want to make themselves of some kind of reputation. I've been called to preach the Bible, not for me to be lifted up because God has called me, amen? And we need to make ourselves a know what reputation, and let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ Jesus. And boy, if anyone who could have had all the rights under heaven to be lifted up and to be exalted high was Jesus Christ, because he was God manifest in the flesh. So when you think about that, that's amazing. And he says, a form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. So here's the principle. Jesus Christ is also humbling himself. He's not going up, he's humbling. Became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Let every Christian say amen to that. Because none of us could be saved unless he was not obedient unto the death of the cross. But verse 9, wherefore, I like this bit, God also have highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. You know, Christian, where are you now seated? In heaven. Amen. Who's ever wanted to find justice in this life? We all have, haven't we? Who's ever done you wrong and you want to find justice? I do. Okay, I'll help you. Two things to think about. One day you and I are going to be highly, what? Exalted. By the way, they won't be. Secondly, I want you to think this. When you and I want justice in your life, and sometimes deservedly so, because you have enemies. Why do you and I have enemies? Because we're not in our Father's kingdom, we're in Satan's kingdom, so we do have enemies. For whatever reason, someone can be your enemy. Would you agree? and they will do you right or what? Wrong. Now here's the key. But what happens if I rise up and I react to them? If I'm rising up, what am I doing? Rising up. Get me? My disposition is changing. And you know what Satan's doing? Got him. That's exactly what I want you to do, Simon. I want you to get on your high horse and say you're right because you are in my kingdom. And guess what? Satan's going to turn up now and even help you. Amen. You say, how? Quick, ring the police. Let them get to the court or whatever the case might. Let's find a way to find justice. Be careful of that because it's a very dangerous, it can be a very dangerous place to be for us to lift up ourselves to find justice. Now the Bible says, so therefore, what must I do? Now, here's the key. I must humble myself under the mighty hand of God who will, promise, exalt us, promise, in due time, casting all my care upon him, for he careth for you. In other words, the Lord knows the injustice you and I are going through. He understands that. He knows what you and I are facing. He was tempted of the devil. He was tempted on all points, yet without sin. If anyone in heaven, our high priest, Jesus Christ, tells the Father, I know what they're going through, but what the Father says, I don't want them to get highly exalted in Satan's kingdom. I want the believer to stay humble, and I will exalt them in due time. And here's the key. We always want judgment, and we want it fixed now, don't we? Who's impatient here? If you say you're not, I'll get in the car with you when you're driving. See how that tests you. But aren't we impatient? I am. But my impatience can lead me to getting ahead of God, and it can lead me from not humbling myself and relying on the Lord to fix it. It can lead me into a dangerous position where I can be lifted up. Now, if you think about that, could any of us, now let's be honest here, can any of us really stand before Satan? No. He then is a what? A roaring lion. He's a true enemy. Now, when you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was writing to a very carnal, they were carnally minded church. They were people who said, I'm of this, I'm of Paul. To the church he was writing to, it was all about themselves, how they felt. It was a very carnal church. And when you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you would probably think to yourself that, Paul is writing very hard to them. He's writing to them almost in a way that, you'd wonder why he's writing to them. Now come over to 1 Corinthians 4 verse 13. I think it's 1 Corinthians. I'll just check, make sure it is. Okay. So Paul himself is writing to a carnal church. Now, I want you to understand, when Paul's writing to this church and they're carnally minded, what would be their tendency to do if they were put in a situation where someone had done wrong to them? What would they do? They would be what? Lifted up. So Paul, the Apostle Paul's writing to this church because that's their tendency. Now I want you to understand, he's writing to them hard because if that's their tendency, then who are they then in danger of? Satan. They're in danger of their enemy. Now, as I go on, do you believe Satan is your enemy? All right, now, if you went to war, or if you're in the security business, isn't it good to know your enemy? Okay, so he's our enemy. So he writes to them, and he says here, being defamed, he's talking about himself, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world. That's what Paul said about himself, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. You know what Paul said? I'm a doormat just like Jesus Christ is. And yet, Paul is the greatest Christian to live outside of Christ because he is. He said, I'm offscouring. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I what? Warn you. So he's saying, I'm warning you. Be careful. Understand something. The apostles that made the offscouring, that we're made the filth of the world. You know, as a Christian, I'm sure some of you have experienced that same thing, where they just make you the filth of the world because of what you believe. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. What did Paul just say? Be followers of me. And without going into the full study where he says that, he said that he was a follower of who? Christ. So if you are following Christ, you must have the same mind as Jesus Christ, where it says that he made himself of no what? Reputation. You know Paul's saying? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I made the offscouring of the world. And he's saying to this carnal church, I want you to be a follower of me. What do you mean? As I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, be careful of being lifted up, but stay humble. That's what he's saying to them, and he's warning them. He's warning them because you and I have an enemy. Now, let me just throw this in, and I think I've been guilty of this. Okay, so I'm going to throw myself in this one, big time. Who's ever said, well, I just believe the Bible and I wouldn't follow a man? Have you ever heard that? Well, we have the King James Bible and I wouldn't follow a man. You better follow a man. That's what the Bible says. Be followers of who? Me. Isn't it amazing how people get lifted up and puffed up? They get puffed up. I believe the Bible. You know, Satan believes the Bible too, so be careful of being puffed up. Amen? But Paul says, be followers of me. He says, I'm warning you guys. This is serious. This is dangerous. You don't know where you live. You do not understand your enemy. Now let's just read on here for a moment. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance, notice, of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul had a particular way about him. And one of the things was he did not exalt himself. He did not come into those churches and say, like, I am the apostle and all that kind of rubbish. He came into them humbly, warning them and being careful. And he says, be followers of me as I'm also of Christ. Be like Jesus Christ. Verse 18, now some of you are what everyone says? Bible says? Oh, puffed up. Whoops. Uh-oh, puffed up, exalted. Now the flesh is doing the puffing up. And who else is going to get in on the act when you get puffed up? The roaring lion. So we get puffed up. Now we're open to Satan, the roaring lion. And then he says, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. You know what was basically happening there? They were saying, oh, Paul, he won't come and see us. Kind of like an attitude problem. That's what they were doing. Oh, well, he won't come and see us, but Paul said that. But he did say in 2 Corinthians chapter 2:11, they come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2:11, and he's still writing to the same church, the same people. And he wrote there to say, look, I'm warning you, be careful. So this is a Bible study. So in verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11, now tell me, read this out, everyone. What does this say? Lest Satan, now say it out loud, should get a what? An advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of what? His devices. So say it again. Lest Satan should get an advantage. Now, I want you to think, everyone, we're in war. When you're in war, do you want your enemy to get advantage of you? Oh, amen. This is the message. So we have to be careful of who's doing the exalting. We have to understand We need to stay humble because we have an enemy. He's called Satan. And what we don't want to do here is allow Satan to get the advantage. Now, if he gets the advantage, who then is, who is the winner? Or who's in control? Satan is. If I stay humble, who's still in control? God is. So it's really important to get this. So Satan there gets an advantage. Now, I had to laugh when you look at this. That, you know, I read this, I saw on the news this week, and I had to laugh. You know how the cigarettes will give you cancer, and has that not been publicized for many, many years? I just happened to be watching the news the other day. It was almost like they were saying that the cancer council had finally caught up about alcohol. You know what alcohol will do? It'll give you cancer. Now, I want you to think about something. I have an enemy. It's called the flesh, okay? And if I get into substance abuse, who am I giving advantage to? Satan or my flesh? So before I got saved, I used to go surfing. And it was, well, it'd be good surf now. So I went and got drunk. And I went out to the point at Cabarita, and it was, in those days, it was a rocky bottom, so it was a bit dangerous, but you had good waves. And I was drunk. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment. I was invincible. I was catching waves I would have never caught before. In fact, I look back at it honestly now and just say, man, that was foolish. That was stupid. That was absolutely insane. I might not have even been here today. But what did I do? And the illustration is I gave advantage to my flesh. I gave advantage to the enemy. You know, sometimes think, you know, and I was sort of thinking about, well, you know, God never tells you why not to put alcohol in your drink. He doesn't need to tell you why not to. He just says, don't do it. Because he knows that will give an advantage to the flesh. To some people, it might not be a problem, but to a lot of people, it is. How many people in Australia have died because of alcohol incidents? Now it's the substance abuse. You know, the world's so crazy now, they have these music things on. So what they're going to do now is they're going to set up a booth and see whether the pill you're taking is safe. Aren't you giving advantage to the enemy here? I've got a better one. Just don't take the drug. Just abstain. Don't give it an advantage. Well, that's what Paul's saying here in the Bible. He's actually saying to us as Christians, be careful of giving our enemy advantage. Because this is, I think, honestly, guys, I do not really believe that people really get it, that we do live in Satan's kingdom. It's not, and yet God has given us everything in this world to enjoy, amen. I'd like to go to the islands where these two boys are from and see the Pacific Islands, amen. The world that God has given us is beautiful, but just understand that there is an advantage that Satan, that it is his kingdoms, and he's that roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Now, who could quote to me this morning Galatians 6:7? If you sow to the Spirit, what do you do? What happens, everyone? You reap everlasting life or whatever, isn't it? What is Galatians 6:7? Now, everyone should remember this. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. So here's what I'm going to say to you. If I sow to my flesh corruption, as God says, I'll also reap what, everyone? Corruption. Would you agree with me? So now I'm what, everyone? Sick. True? And now I go to the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist, you know what the psychiatrist will say? It was your parents' fault. Amen? No, it was my fault. And you know what? When you get sick because of sin, don't you think it's a good time to be humble like that guy there and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? It was my sin, it was my corrupt nature that caused me to have that thing. Now I'm just going to close with this thought for you. So the thought then, the lesson then from this Bible study is to remember, I don't want to give Satan the advantage. The way I won't give him advantage is to humble myself, be careful of my own disposition, and realize that God can take care of it. But I do have a thought here for us this morning where I've titled this message, He Lifted Me. And think about your own Christian life for a moment. Think about where you are now. Think about the blessings God has given us. Amen? And think about just how the Lord has lifted you. It's not all great, would you agree? Brother John, it's not too good at the moment. But has he not lifted you at times? Hasn't he lifting you now, even through the hard times? Amen? Haven't we got prayer? Haven't we got God? You know the story. Remember the story? And I put it on this little piece of paper here for you of the when the Pharisees were telling Jesus he couldn't heal on the Sabbath, and he told them that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. And remember, he was there, and there was always that spiritual, remember they were standing around him and they were daring him to actually heal on the Sabbath day. And it's the story in Luke 6:8 where there was a man there who had the withered hand, and he said, and the Bible says, but he knew their thoughts, so he knows how this crowd is thinking, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst, and he rose and stood forth. You know, when sometimes we have to remember this, what was happening here was that this man was under a lot of, intimidation by those around him, a spiritual intimidation as well, where Jesus Christ would heal on the Sabbath day. Could you imagine it? And you can imagine, you read the passage, how they were looking at Christ and they were daring him to heal on the Sabbath day. By the way, whose kingdom is this? Satan's. Who was running the Sabbath? Satan, by the religious crowd. And, you know, he said, and I love this, the Lord said, rise up. And, you know, this man rose up on the Sabbath day. And then in the passage, the Lord asked him to stretch forth his hand, and the Bible says he was immediately healed. You know, sometimes I want you to think, and I'll put this thought down, we must take the initiative. This man had a choice to obey and be healed or to continue to look for sympathy because of his withered hand. In other words, he had a withered hand, it was withered, but he took the initiative to obey Jesus Christ and he arose. And then in the passage later, then Jesus says, reach forth. And he did. He obeyed. And when he did obey him, what happened to his hand, everyone? He was healed, wasn't it? And here's the truth. And yet he could have been thinking like and being pressured by the kingdom that he was living in and being suppressed. How hard is it, have you found, to get people to Jesus Christ? Always something pressing on it. But no man, and you know, many today want Jesus Christ to heal them. Would you agree with me? But not many are willing to obey him in the condition they are in. Think about that. This man obeyed the Lord while his hand was withered. As soon as he did, it was what healed. And I have this little thought here for you down the bottom. And I got this from Oswald Chambers, and I do agree with it. For example, when you and I are depressed, and I'm just talking generally here, and can I say the reason you and I are depressed is because what kingdom do we live in? Satan's kingdom. Who suffered depression? Don't put your hand down. We all have. Amen. We have all suffered depression. We look for ways to overcome depression. True? Okay, so you could run this down to a lot of different areas. Some people might turn to substance. but da 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 da. But there are ways that people try to find a way to suppression depression. But you know that when we do the thing that God asks us to do, the same as the man with the withered hand, from his word, you know the depression is uplifted. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed when you humble yourself and you obey God and you feel depressed, and all of a sudden that depression's uplifted? And yet, isn't it funny how we go out of our way to try to find other means to somehow find a cure? And I'm just talking general depression here, so don't misunderstand me, but just general depression, because depression is, the fact is, that you and I do not live in an ideal world. And we don't. Our expectations are never met. We get let down all the time. We want to exalt ourselves so we can get the things we want. Amen? What does the Bible say? Humble yourself. I know that was a very long Bible study, but I thank everyone for their attentiveness. If Isabel can sing, or we'll just close in prayer. No, she can hear me. We'll close. Let's just close. Father, thank you for this time in thy word. We ask that you would bless, help us, dear Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hang on. And on cue, here she comes. Here she comes. Yeah, let's do our last hymn. Let's do it. It was a long Bible study. Let's do 447. Think about the lily of the valley, amen. 447. Found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, in him rest of 10,000 to my soul. He of all my griefs have taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Oh, all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore. Through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manner he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen, we are dismissed. And Jack, good Jack. Thank you.